you all for giving me the opportunity to speak to you again. Seems like it's been a little while. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This scripture seems to be a interesting way to start a sermon on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the man, is first mentioned in the book of Matthew. But if we search the scripture, we will find that he is from the beginning, as seen in John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The question is, at what point in the scripture do we start teaching of Christ? We see that Christ was that rock that put forth water for the children of Israel to drink, 1 Corinthians 10:1, and did all drink from the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. When teaching an individual, we must ensure that he has the best chance of gaining faith. We notice that Philip ran and joined the chariot with the eunuch. And as he joined with him, as Brian mentioned this morning, he saw that he was reading of the prophet Isaiah and asked, he said, "Do you understand what you read?" He said, "How can I unless some man lead me?" And he started at that point and taught him Jesus. How could this be? He was reading prophet Isaiah. This book was written, as I understand it, some 600 years before the birth of Christ. If you turn to Isaiah 53 and compare the writings that you find there with the writings in Acts 8, you'll find that they're speaking of the same thing. Acts 8:32-33, the place that of the scripture which he read was, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearer, and opened not his mouth." Isaiah 53:7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." I don't know how long it took Philip when he was teaching the eunuch, but I do know that he didn't teach opinion. Philip began again at that same scripture and taught him Jesus. Remember, brothers and sisters, it's not a race to find out how quick we can put somebody in water. The requirement is that we teach all that is needed to ensure the individual is ready to be baptized. We look at baptism in Romans 6:4. We see buried with him in baptism. We see this again in Colossians 12. The form of the mode of baptism is strictly pointed out here. This is not a sprinkling. It is not a dipping with a cup and pouring. It is not pushing someone's head along into the water. This is a burial in baptism. We have to know that Christ is the Son of God, born of a virgin birth, as we find in Matthew 1. That he was sent to save sinners, John 3:15-16. We have to know that he walked this earth without committing a single act of sin. Guile was not found in his mouth. 1 John 3:5, and you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. 1 Peter 2:22, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Hebrews 10:10-12, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering aforetimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. How indeed can anyone believe in the Lord except they be taught? Jesus himself spoke in Mark 16:15-16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Amen. That particular set of scripture there, Matthew 28:19-20, we notice that it not only says teach and baptize, but the statement that Christ said was teach, baptize, and teach. We continue on. We must raise up our children in Christ as Christ would have us to do. We have to teach them from the milk to the meat. The sinner has to gain knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and his commands concerning the obedience to the gospel. Shown in the previous verses, we have to go teach. Therefore, the sinner has to hear the word. If not, the sinner will remain a sinner. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We speak of belief, but we speak of belief in a minimal thing. Belief is an active thing. If I were to look out and come through the back door and Brian's standing here talking to someone and I say, Brian, Van just ran into your truck out in the parking lot. You think he's going to sit there and just stand here? No, he's going to head out the door because he wants to know what happened. I would hope and I believe that Van would say, or Brian would say, I need to find out what's going on with Van because I know Van wouldn't do that on his own. So there's going to be some kind of urgency to him getting out there and seeing this. Well, if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if we preach to someone and they believe, there's going to be action. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:35-36. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I've not heard much teaching on the definition of repentance in this manner, but I'm going to bring it up to you this way. Repentance is a changing of the heart, is a changing of the way we do things, the way we think. It's changing of the inward man to reflect from the outward man. But repentance is a death. We stop sinning. No, I'm not saying that at that point we are forgiven, because we are definitely not. This is only, forgiveness is only obtained by completing all five steps. We know we have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Coming up out of that water is a new creature. We know that in baptism that sin is removed and we are forgiven. Again, repentance. You have given up the old life of sin and continue on the pathway towards baptism. Confession. This is a serious point of contention, not within the church itself, but within the denominational realm. As Brian spoke earlier today, and we've heard him speak before, we don't drop to our knees and start saying, Brother Billy, I did this today, I did that today, I messed up and all this. The confession that we're talking about is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, how should this be accomplished, though? If I look out, or if I ask Brian what his favorite basketball team is, he's going to tell me he is a UK fan. I'm going to use Gary, even though he's not here. We know that Gary is a Washington Redskins fan, and he's going to let you know it. Me, I am a diehard Mountaineer fan. With that being said, and with the gusto that we use in proclaiming our love for our football, basketball, baseball teams, how should we confess Jesus Christ when we are obeying the gospel? Should we say, Brother Billy, I believe? Or should we say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, proclaiming our belief? Peter said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't say, I believe. He knew it. Matthew 16, 15 and 16. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Again, in Mark 8, 29 and in John 11, 27, the same response. Now let's take a look again at Acts 8. Acts 8, 36 and 37. A little while after, we read of him joining up with the chariot. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now for the most controversial part of all. How to obtain that forgiveness. Baptism. You must be baptized to obtain salvation. Romans 6, 17 and 18. Apostle Paul talking here. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. 1 Peter 3, 21. the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:10 through 12. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the filth, or the body of sin, of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Buried with him. You don't bury a live man, and you do not bury or baptize an active sinner. You bury a penitent man, you baptize a penitent man. The doctrine that Paul speaks of, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, obeying from the heart that form of doctrine, we must die. We must repent. We must be buried in water and arise to walk in newness of life. Nature itself teaches you that you don't bury a man that's still alive. The need is not there. You do not baptize a man that is still an active sinner. What's the purpose? If he's an active sinner, he's not, that water's not going to do him any good. He must repent. As to all steps of salvation, each must be complete as taught in the Word of God. Now, for those of you who have a simple mind like mine, I want to go this route. And by the way, simple minds, that's a compliment. If a pig is in a wallow and he comes out of the mud, if he repents of the mud, he has not been cleansed. He still has the effect of the mud on him. Even though the mud may dry up, he still has it on him. Look at the mud as sin. When the pig comes out of the mud, it's still attached and needs to be cleansed. This is similar to repentance and baptism. Without baptism, your sin is still attached. We tend to let our education get in the way. I heard an individual, it's been a while now, that said if you can't understand the preacher that's using his education, it's time for you to go and buy a dictionary. Well, that's not what Paul stated. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, 18 through 19, I thank God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. In 2 Corinthians 1, 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to youward. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For some reason, man keeps trying to change the way God has set forth about salvation. again, teach, baptize, and teach, as stated in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Normally I throw a little story in with my when I do my talk, so I'm going to do this at the very end. After this, we can sing our invitation song. There once was a man who did terrible things against the church. He threatened a preacher in Kentucky whose last name was Hall. As I understand it, he threatened to kill him. He got into an argument with a Church of Christ preacher over, I believe, around Martin County, Kentucky, a place called Beauty, somewhere in that area. And it was a bad argument. The preacher handed the man a Bible and said, "Prove me wrong." Well, he took the Bible, he went home. Evidently, he did a really good job of proving that preacher right. Because shortly after all this, Callahan Maynard Sr. was baptized. If we're going to be angry about the Bible, we need to be angry at ourselves. Let your education be of God's word and not man's wisdom. Read, study, meditate, and pray. If any have need, please come forward while we stand and sing.